Current Affairs. This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on next-gen GST reforms, relief across sectors. The participants are Puneet Jain, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chowdhury, anchor.
I'm joined by Shri Puneet Jain, and today we would be discussing on the GST reforms which were announced at the 56th GST Council meeting on the 3rd of September 2025. Now, the objective of the discussion is to discuss on the rationalization of the GST rate structure from a 4 GST slabs of 5%, 12%, 18% and 28% to a now more simplified rate structure of 18%, 5% and 40%, which is effective from the 22nd of September 2025, except on tobacco products. Puneet, good to have you on this discussion.
Thank you, Arjun.
Puneet, there were 4 slabs earlier on this GST structure. Now there are 3. You have the standard rate of 18% applicable to most goods and services. You have a merit rate of 5%, which is levied on essential items and the priority sectors. And then you have a demerit rate of 40%, which is imposed on sin goods and luxury items. Can you tell us what is your view in terms of this reform which has been carried out by the GST Council?
So, Arjun, you would recall that the GST, the goods and services tax itself, was a move which was to simplify a very complex indirect tax structure in the country. There were more than 17 different types of taxes which were earlier levied before 2017 when GST was introduced. Before that, we had some 17 different types of taxes which were levied on goods and services, and there were also different kinds of cess which were imposed on them. So these 30 types of taxes were actually subsumed into 4 broad categories that you mentioned. And so that itself was, I think, a major tax reform which was undertaken. And if you really look back on the last 70, 80 years of independent India, then I think this is by far the biggest tax reform which has happened. So that GST tax reform has been further simplified to meet with the requirements of easier compliances, lower tax burden for people, making life easier for consumers as well as for businesses. So I think this is a very, very important step. And another thing I'd like to mention here is that a lot of countries in the world have tried to implement GST. Many of them actually failed. And it is remarkable that a complex country like India, which has almost 30 states, many geographical locations where business are conducted, we have been able to implement GST structure in India. I think it is remarkable and something to really be proud of.
Well, let's now hear what Prime Minister Narendra Modi has said on the evolution of GST reforms that would bring about in major sectors of the economy.
साथियों, 8 वर्ष पहले जब जीएसटी लागू हुआ तो कई दशकों का सपना साकार हुआ था। ये चर्चा कोई मोदी प्रधानमंत्री बना उसके बाद नहीं हुई, इसके पहले भी हो रही थी। काम नहीं होता था, चर्चा होती थी। अब 21वीं सदी में आगे बढ़ते भारत में जीएसटी में भी नेक्स्ट जनरेशन रिफॉर्म की आवश्यकता थी और उसको किया गया। मीडिया के कुछ साथी इसको जीएसटी 2.0 के रूप में कह रहे हैं, लेकिन असल में ये देश के लिए सपोर्ट और ग्रोथ की डबल डोज है। डबल डोज यानी एक तरफ देश के सामान्य परिवार की बचत और दूसरी तरफ देश की अर्थव्यवस्था को नई मजबूती। पनीर से लेकर के शैंपू साबुन तक सब कुछ पहले से कहीं सस्ता होने वाला है और इससे आपको महीने का खर्च, रसोई का खर्च भी बहुत कम हो जाएगा। स्कूटर कार पर भी टैक्स कम कर दिया गया है। इसका बहुत फायदा उन नौजवानों को होगा जो अभी अपनी नौकरी शुरू कर रहे हैं। जीएसटी कम करने से घर का बजट बनाने और अपनी लाइफस्टाइल अच्छी करने में भी आपको मदद मिलेगी।
So just coming back to the discussion, Puneet, let's talk about essential items which come under the 5% GST. Which are these essential items and why is it that it'll benefit consumers? They earlier fell within their 12% slab, now they're within the 5% slab. So clearly the purchasing power of the consumer is going to go up. And how are the businesses going to be able to deal with this?
So Arjun, if you really look at the logic behind this rationalization, the latest step in rationalization of the tax is that idea is to boost consumption at the level of consumers, make life easier for businesses which are undertaking it, and also there were certain lessons that were learned on the way of implementation to bring in those lessons and make GST easier and simpler to implement. So if you look at goods which are really consumed by the Aam Aadmi and by the middle classes, you look at the FMCG and daily consumption goods like soaps, shampoos, biscuits, then you have things which are really used by the middle classes in a large extent is things like construction equipment, no? Which is cement. There are a large number of agricultural equipment, agrochemicals, pesticides that have been brought into a 5% lower GST slab. So clearly the attempt has been, and if you look at consumables, and we're not just talking about consumables every day, we're talking about goods like air conditioners, televisions, electronics, stuff like this, which is used by the common person. And I think the idea of bringing these tax slabs lower is to boost consumption and make the administration easier.
So that's the rationalization objective, clearly. So 5% is on daily essentials, agri goods, and healthcare equipment. And when you talk about other goods, like they have a levy of a standard rate of 18%, which is applicable to most goods and services. Earlier, they fell under the 28% bracket. So just coming back now to the 18% slab and not the 5% slab, again, it'll have an impact on the purchasing power of the consumer. Inflation rate is likely to be readjusted accordingly. How are businesses adjusting to this? Are they passing on the benefits to the consumer? And what does this mean for their own operations? Because they're also looking at gross profit margin when they compute what the financial statement analysis is really all about.
So Arjun, if you look at the goods which have been brought to the 18% slab, for example, I mentioned earlier, air conditioners, televisions, electronics industry, where India has been trying to make a mark for itself in domestic consumption story as well as for exports. So clearly, if we have a strong demand push within the economy, if the domestic market is strong enough for this product, it makes it easier for businesses to export these goods to other countries also. That is the sentiment which is really behind this rationalization. So we strengthen this industry, which not only serves the domestic market, it also can compete in the international markets for exports. Similarly, if you look at agricultural equipment, we have a very substantial, very large community of agriculturists, people who depend on farming for income. So it makes life easier for them. At the same time, it gives India a leg up as far as exports of these goods are concerned. So I think if you look at defense equipment, for instance, defense equipment, of course, we have a very strong industry which is now coming up thanks to policy changes by the government. And India is also emerging as an exporter of defense equipment. And we have seen, interestingly, nobody really thought that we need rationalization in defense manufacturing because government is the major consumer of those goods and services. But there also we have seen a very significant cut in GST. I think with an eye on promoting exports of defense equipment.
Let's now hear what the Union Finance Minister, Dr. Nirmala Sitharaman, had to say about the GST reforms.
Common man items such as hair oil, toilet soap, bars, soap bars, shampoos, toothbrushes, toothpaste, bicycles, tableware, kitchenware and other household articles have all come to 5, whether they were in 18 or whether they were in 12. Similarly, reduction of GST from 5% to nil, all the Indian breads will see nil rate. So roti kisi ke upar bhi, chapati or roti or paratha or whatever it is, they all come to nil. Reduction of GST from 12% or from 18% to 5, isme food items 5% mein aare.
So essentially what we've understood is that you have a 5% on essential goods and services and you have an 18% on semi-essential goods and services. Let's hear what Shri Sanjay Mangal, a Chief Commissioner of GST, Central Board of Indirect Taxes and Customs, highlighting the transformative potential of GST reforms, emphasizing the role in stimulating economic growth and also streamlining the tax structure and reducing the number of tax slabs. The reforms aim to provide a significant boost to the economy.
The aim of these reforms is to provide substantial relief and ease of living to common men, farmers, women, students, households, MSMEs and small businesses, as well as exporters. So the relief is in form of structural reform in GST by reducing rates from 4 to 2 and also by reducing the rates of a large number of items. About 400 items, the rates have been reduced. Either they have been reduced to zero or they have been brought out to 5% or 18% from the higher rates. So the aim is that these reduction of rates will provide quite a big relief to the consumers and they will reduce burden of tax. products, which will enable them to purchase these items, which are essential items, daily use items, as well as the aspirational items.
So now that we've discussed on the merit rate and on the 18% slab on semi-essential goods, let's now look at the demerit rate, which is 40% on sin goods and luxury items. How important is this classification when it comes to GST reforms?
So Arjun, interestingly, when we talked about reforming the taxation system, I think the idea was not only to raise more revenue, I think the idea is also to send a certain message to consumers. Therefore, you will find that goods like gutkha, pan masala, no, things which are not considered good for consumers, we have put those now in the 40% tax bracket. Idea is to discourage consumption. If idea was to collect more revenue, then they may have encouraged consumption of these goods. But I think government is clearly sending a message. We do not want to raise revenue through these goods. However, if you want to consume it, you have to pay a higher tax for it. So clearly, I think the objective here is twin, to kind of raise the taxes so that people consume less and at the same time send some message. We also have luxury goods like motorbikes, which are above 350cc capacity. There again, the taxes have been raised so that luxury goods are again discouraged as far as consumption is concerned for the common person. And if there's somebody who really wants to buy it, he should contribute to the taxation kitty.
It's very interesting because if you look at the automotive sector, you have 5% on electric vehicles, which is continued as a policy from before. You have 5% on hydrogen fuel cells as well in order to meet its net zero emission targets. But when you move away from electric vehicles, you move into the internal combustion engine category, then it's 18% GST, including on components as well. So it's quite transformative in terms of the price structure for the consumer who aspires to buy a vehicle. And if you're looking at small cars or big cars, there's a clear distinction between luxury cars and the smaller car, and that benefit goes to the masses.
Absolutely. So therefore, you have a significant tax cut on small cars from 28% to 18%. You have a significant cut for two-wheelers which are below 350cc capacity. So I think it is again a policy which is somewhat favorable towards consumption by the middle classes, the aam aadmi, so to say. And at the same time, if you look at tractors, where again taxes have been cut to benefit the farmers. And interestingly, when I look at this entire gamut of changes, the ultimate revenue loss which the government is suffering is also not significant. It has been estimated at approximately 0.2% of the GDP, which is fine. I don't think it's a significant number to sacrifice for ease of doing business and for encouraging people to consume more and spend more.
Another aspect when you talk about components, and a very important component for industry, semiconductors. You want to set up fabricating a unit for a semiconductor plant, become Atmanirbhar, not rely on imports from countries like Taiwan, which may be facing a blockade from China. And again, the objective is that the chip that you manufacture is quality controlled. The nanometer is low enough for meeting industrial standards as well. So do you see the GST reforms along with other reforms in terms of setting up industry, for instance, in Assam, another step in ensuring that India is self-reliant, that the industrialization is all about import substitution?
So Arjun, if you look at GST reforms merely as a tweak in the taxation structure, I don't think it will give us a complete picture. The complete picture appears to be that the government has a larger game plan for economic development of the country. And that game plan touches upon every geography of the country. So it goes from, like you mentioned, from northeast to west to southern parts of India and to extreme north. So what kind of industries need to be encouraged in which part? There is strength, there are positivities. I think, so there's a comprehensive game plan to which this is a piece of puzzle which has been put in. And I think the larger picture will emerge as we develop further into developing industry, particularly for self-reliance, as you mentioned, Atmanirbharta, and also to emerge as a strong global player in those respective industries.
Let's now hear what Ashok Chandak, President Semicon India, said about the introduction of just two slabs, 5% and 18%, as a very bold and good step for the business sector.
जीएसटी राजनाशन जो किया है दो स्लैब में 5% और 18%, ये बहुत अच्छा स्टेप है ये, क्योंकि पहले चार स्टेप थे उसमें काफी कॉम्प्लिकेशन होते थे और कई प्रोडक्ट में फिर थोड़ा वो डिस्प्यूट हो जाता था कि वेदर वो 12 में है, 5 में है, 18 में क्या है, वो सब चल रहा था। अभी उसमें काफी क्लैरिटी आ गई और कई प्रोडक्ट्स है जो अभी 5% के स्लैब में चले गए, तो उससे जो कॉमन मैन का जो रिक्वायरमेंट है उसमें उनको फायदा मिलेगा। उससे हमें पूर्ण उम्मीद है कि बहुत सारा कंजम्पशन बढ़ेगा, जरूरी चीजें जो है और जो जरूरी चीजें नहीं उनका भी कंजम्पशन बढ़ जाएगा। सो ओवरऑल ये इंडस्ट्री के लिए भी अच्छी बात है और कॉमन मैन सिटीजन के लिए बहुत पॉजिटिव बात है, और जो ईज ऑफ डूइंग बिजनेस है उसके दृष्टिकोण से ये एक अच्छा कदम है कि अभी 2 लाख भी बचे इसमें एक्चुअली।
So let's now move on to apparels, because textile manufacturing employs a great deal of people in India, especially when you look at exports to countries like the US and Canada. But unfortunately, because of the tariff policy of the United States government, there's some difficulty being faced by the textile industry here. How do you see this GST slab structure helping the textile and the apparel sector?
So, Arjun, the textile sector is a very important part of Indian economy, because in value terms, it may not be very significant, but in terms of employment opportunities, it's a very large part. It plays a very significant role in creating employment opportunities for people across the spectrum of income as well as geographies. So, when we had this challenge of higher tariffs for exports to America, everybody was very concerned that what do we do to support this critical industry that we have. And fortunately, government has gone ahead and brought about this significant tax reform, cut taxes, so that consumption of clothing items which are relatively affordable. So there is a tax slab below 2,500 rupees per piece of clothing. If you are priced below 2,500 rupees, your taxes are almost negligible in terms of GST. So clearly, again, government wants to promote consumption of affordable clothing for the masses, and also at the same time giving a boost to the industry so that it can support employment in these difficult times. So it serves many objectives at the same time.
Let's now hear what Secretary General of the Apparel Export Promotion Council, Ministry of Textiles, Mitheleshwar Thakur, termed the next GST reforms as bold, brave and path-breaking move by the government.
This is a welcome move. It will boost demands, drive consumption, kickstart the economy, and basically address the issues of GST inversion in most of the cases because of the elimination of some of the slab rates. So all in all, I think a wonderful move on the part of the government.
So having mentioned about the merit rate of 5% on essential items and priority sectors, the standard rate of 18% applicable to most goods and services, and then the demerit rate of 40% on sin goods and luxury items. So let's now look at exemptions. You have the exemption from GST on individual health and life insurance. Now, this is something that would affect the masses, because everyone requires health benefits and they want life insurance so that the next of kin can benefit on their demise.
In fact, the GST, levy of GST on insurance has been kind of pinching almost every consumer, because somehow it doesn't feel right that you have to pay tax on a premium that you are taking on your life, or a risk premium. No, nobody pays an insurance, or nobody claims an insurance in a happy state of mind. So I think it is in fitness of things that government has chosen to exempt life insurance and general insurance, particularly health insurance, from GST levy. Again, I think the objective is not to protect revenue here. The objective is to encourage people to take more insurance policies so that the social security net becomes better. So I would say, again, the social objective here was more important for the government than protecting revenue. And that's what we seem to have achieved.
Well, Puneet, now we also have what's known as a nil rate or a zero rate on dairy products. These are perishable as well. 33 life-saving drugs and educational essentials. How do you see this benefiting the masses?
Again, I think these items that you mentioned, whether dairy products, educational accessories, they really touch everybody's lives in all walks of life. I would say the government is not looking, usually, you know, taxation is looked at purely from revenue angle. So again, government took a larger view of for goodness of people, of people at large, and decided to forgo that revenue which they're getting from these places. It's not easy to forgo revenue, because government also has to earn reasonable tax to carry out other socially relevant activities. But I think here, again, the objective was to promote consumption, to support people in the middle classes at lower spectrum of the income spectrum. And I think that's what we are looking at here.
I just want your take on farm equipment, because you spoke about the merit rate of 5%, which is basically on essential items. And farm equipment is being seen as essential, tractors and harvesters, where the GST reduction is from 12% to 5%. How important is reducing the input cost to an agriculturist going to benefit not only this business, but the consumer of that agriculturist product?
We have seen that the government has been very keen to bring reforms to the agriculture sector. There have been many attempts, in fact, some have failed, some have succeeded. It's a difficult sector to touch upon because so many people, so many lives are really connected to it. And it's always farming communities somewhat sensitive to changes in this sector. So I think first important step is to give relief to this sector. We've seen this in terms of reduction of due taxes on equipment, on agrochemicals, on pesticides, so that the cost of production for farmers, it comes down. And when that happens, I think incomes for farmers will go up, which will in turn help the entire economy.
Let's now hear what Sri Dev Garg, who's the vice president of the Indian Rice Exporters Federation, says about GST reforms, saying that GST reform is not just a tax reform, but an economic reform as well.
GST reform is not just a tax reform, it is an economic reform. This will create a huge wave of new growth opportunities, job creation, and this will supercharge the economy. Today, by bringing in this new legislation and these changes, the GST registration time has been reduced, enabling any exporter to make exports from any port from wherever he pleases. Wherever there is economic viability, increases his speed and reaction to the market. Another big change that has happened is that any exporter would get provisional 90% refund within 1 week, which has been reduced from earlier 60 days to 7 days. If we talk about the rice industry, more than 1,230 crores of the rice industry are stuck under GST refunds. By bringing in this enabling provision, the GST refund time has been reduced from 60 days to 7 days, and now this more than 1,200 crore rupees will be unlocked for the rice industry, which will reduce the working capital cycle. It will increase the efficiency of every businessman and reduce his financing cost.
So now that we have spoken a great deal about the benefits to the consumer, because we're talking about deflationary aspects of these tax reforms, purchasing power going up and consumer spending, because tax collections, GST is all about consumption after all. So you're targeting the consumer, but the business also has to be incentivized, and invariably businesses discuss about compliances, making it easy for them to comply with the GST law, which was set up in 2017. How do you see the input tax credit and refunds being processed in a way that businesses find it easy to not only collect taxes, but pay them as well?
So we've talked about the changes in tax rates, which will affect prices of goods and therefore consumption of goods. But an equally important part of any tax reform system is making compliance easier, both for those who are paying those taxes and those who are hoping to get a refund from the system. Because refunds are equally important because it fuels the working capital of the industry. Fortunately, again, government has not ignored this aspect of reforms. We have seen a significant change in the electronic filing of returns, in simplification for filers, and importantly, the ability to get a refund in time from GST. Because a lot of people, a lot of businesses were complaining that it's so complex that they can't first of all file in the proper format, and then there are delays in getting refunds, which holds up their working capital. So I think government has come out with certain steps which will aim to improve efficiency of the tax system, and hopefully we will see in days to come that the compliance burden will go down for businesses and refunds etc. will become easier.
So the whole process behind the refund system is based on the input and the output tax. And there is also the other complication of whether you're doing your business within a state or are you doing a business from one state to another. So it's intrastate and interstate as well, which is why you have integrated GST as well. Just for the benefit of our listeners on Akashvani, can I tell us what are the key differences? How is GST collected by the business? How do they process it in a meaningful way?
So Arjun, as you know, when we subsumed so many taxes, I mentioned earlier, there were 17 different kinds of taxes and cesses and duties which were, you know, brought into the GST structure. There was also this requirement that government not only collects the taxes, but large part of these taxes had to be redistributed to the states because they also benefit from levy of these taxes. So a system was worked out between the central government when it was implementing GST, that we collect a certain part of the taxes which will go to the central government alone. Then a certain part has to go to the state in which the business is being done, and a certain part will have to go to other states where the business may be connected to. So therefore, the whole system of collecting taxes were divided into three slabs. There was a central GST, so there was state GST, and there's an interstate GST. And the devolution has been defined, well-defined in the GST Act. And this was, of course, the Finance Commission looked into it, the devolution of taxes from the central government to the state governments. So whole complex mathematics was worked out, and states were also protected from receiving a certain certain amount of revenue. So it is not as if that a state loses revenue because of the reforms. So clearly this entire mechanism was worked out between the center and the states, and to this date the government has been able to maintain and protect the revenues. And that is how the taxes are collected. Then they are divided into between the central GST, the state GST and the IGST, then distributed according to the classification.
Let's now hear what the Union Minister of Railways and Information and Broadcasting, Sri Ashwini Vaishnav, said about how GST reforms will give a boost to India's economy.
GST ke is reform se ye iska ek aur pehlu hai jo aapke samne main rakhna chahunga. GST ke reform se desh ke aarthik unnati mein bhi bahut bada ek labh milega. Agar hum pure economics ke point of view se baat kare, hamari desh ki GDP hai kareeb 330 lakh crore ki abhi. इसमें से करीब 202 लाख करोड़ हमारा कंजम्पशन है, 202 आउट ऑफ 330, 202 लाख करोड़ जो कंजम्पशन है, ये अगर जीएसटी के इस छूट के बाद में अगर 10% भी बढ़ता है तो 20 लाख करोड़ का एक्स्ट्रा कंजम्पशन देश में आता है, 20 लाख करोड़ की एक्स्ट्रा जीडीपी देश में आती है. तो ये अपने आप में बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है, बिकॉज प्रोडक्शन जब बढ़ता है तो स्वाभाविक है कि उसका रोजगार का इम्पैक्ट आता है, रोजगार बढ़ता है उससे स्वाभाविक है कि बहुत सारी जो जितनी गतिविधियां हैं, जितनी हमारी आर्थिक गतिविधियां हैं, वो सब बढ़ने लगती है एक के बाद एक. तरीके से एक ये वर्चुअस साइकिल इससे क्रिएट होती है. इसीलिए इनकम टैक्स की छूट और जीएसटी का ये बड़ा फैसला, ये दोनों मिला के हमारे मध्यम वर्गीय परिवारों के हाथ में, उनके बैंक बैलेंस में, उनके बैंक अकाउंट में एक बहुत बड़ा पॉजिटिव इम्पैक्ट देगा, पॉजिटिव इसमें लाभ मिलेगा.
So Puneet, let's now look at the economic front here, because you addressed the needs and the aspirations of consumers, and we've also addressed how businesses are impacted by it, how important it is to have a partnership with them, because they are also stakeholders in the entire tax collection system. From the economic front, can you tell us how important consumer spending is on GST collection, how important the consumer is, how the government actually regards the consumer? Because if they're not spending, then there is no tax collection, and that is why you need to bring about incentives. And this all ultimately leads to your growth in GDP, because if you take the income approach in measuring GDP, you look at how spending patterns are taking place, what is the income level, what is the tax collected by the government.
So Arjun, if you look at the GDP of any country, basically it is the value of goods and services produced in that industry. However, if you produce certain goods and services, they also have to be consumed. So it is demand which is actually driving supply of goods and services. So clearly, one of the important objectives of any economic policy should be able to promote consumption. And if you are able to promote consumption while maintaining a certain degree of tax devolution or tax collection by the government, then we achieve the twin objectives of promoting general welfare, as well as we can undertake socially relevant activities through tax expenditure. And when we look at GDP of any country, a significant portion of the GDP, almost 50% to 60%, is driven by consumption. Consumption alone, in fact, in countries like America, consumption or consumers are driving almost 80% of GDP. Even in economies like India, it is about 55% of the GDP is driven by consumption. So it is important that we protect consumers' interests. We encourage consumers to consume more, to spend more. While, of course, Indians were very well known for being big savers. We used to save almost 1/3 of our incomes in earlier days. Now that savings rate has come down a little bit, because that money is now being diverted to consumption of goods and services.
Puneet, my final question is, with the GST reforms, you're trying to boost consumption in the economy, consumer spending, and of course businesses being incentivized to be more productive as well. We have looked at how the income approach to GDP is. There's also the expenditure side to it. Let's have a look at the fiscal policy, because government is a big spender of the in the economy itself, and that creates employment. You also want to incentivize businesses to be able to not only increase their productivity, but also increase the headcount of people that they hire. So what's your take on the GST reforms affecting employment and in terms of government spending also?
So Arjun, if you look at all these are pieces of the same jigsaw puzzle. So if you have inflation, very high inflation, consumption will go down. If consumption goes down, employment, production will go down, employment will go down. So if you tweak any one part of this equation, the other parts obviously start moving. And I think when the whole objective of any economic reform is to boost consumption at lower the inflation rate, and in terms of that, boost employment. So ultimately, if we are looking at the twin objectives of any economy or any policy should be to lower inflation and to improve employment. And that is what I think this GST reforms are trying to do.
Thank you so much, Puneet.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on Next Gen GST Reforms, Relief Across Sectors. The participants were Puneet Jain, Economic Analyst, and Arjun J. Chowdhury, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Current Affairs.